This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. A warm welcome to each of you from Christian Crusaders Radio Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs and printed copies of today's sermon will follow the program. Thank you for joining us this Sunday, and please tune in again for an uplifting gospel message every week on this station.
A Christian, who led you to Christ? That's the emphasis of my sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for those faithful people who have come to us in days gone by and talked to us in a very personal way about Jesus Christ. We pray, O God, that also if we are Christians, we may be some of these people who are out finding their brother or their child or their parent or whoever it may be, that they too may enjoy the glories of the kingdom and knowing what it is to have Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends in Christ, have you ever met someone who made a great impression on you and you really wanted to have others that you love meet him too? This was Andrew's experience, Andrew, who was one of Jesus' disciples, his experience one day when he met Jesus. He and another person, likely the man John, who wrote the fourth gospel, had gone out to watch and listen to John the Baptist as he was preaching in the wilderness. There was something about John's preaching that caused them to come back the next day. This was just a little bit different. It was a message of repentance. John was saying to them, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Well, when they got there the next day, they were standing talking with John the Baptist, and Jesus came by and he said, "Look, behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world." In other words, this is the Messiah. This is the Savior of all mankind. I am simply his forerunner. At that time, Peter and John, we'll call him, left John the Baptist and followed Jesus. Jesus turned and looked at them and said, "What do you want?" And they said, "Where are you staying?" Jesus said, "Come and see." And so they spent the entire day with him. The first thing that Andrew wanted to do when they left to go home was to find his brother Peter and tell him, "We have found the Christ." And so that day came and he brought his brother to the Lord Jesus. Isn't that a beautiful picture? For Andrew certainly knew that Peter was a different personality than he was. He was an extrovert. He could deal with people. He had perhaps some of the ability to address a large crowd of people. And what he could do and what he would be if he could only get him to Jesus. And so they ran, he ran, Andrew, and said, "Peter, you have got to come with me. I have met the Christ." Andrew knew that he was going to be in the shadows, but that didn't bother him a bit. He had a very important part to play in the kingdom of God, and that was to go out and invite others to come to the throne of grace and to meet the Savior. Well, as the years went by, and there were three of them, while Jesus was training the 12 disciples, Andrew and Peter both being disciples of Christ, and he saw his brother Peter selected by Jesus to be one of the three. So that one day when they were going up to the Mount of Transfiguration to look into the kingdom of God, who did Jesus take? He took Peter with him. And Andrew stayed behind, but it didn't bother him one bit. And then we know that he was a person who could stand up on Pentecost and preach a sermon that was so dynamic that with the power of the Holy Spirit, over 3,000 people came to Christ on that particular day. Peter was a leader of the people being the disciples. When it got to be that very tense hour and they were in the Garden of Gethsemane, it was Peter, James, and John again who went with our Lord into the inner sanctum. And there they could watch him wrestle with the Satan and was finally convinced that it was his job to go forth and be crucified. Through all of this, those privileged positions that Peter had and Andrew sat behind, there was no jealousy that we could detect in the course of his life in the scriptures. Jesus then began to teach Peter, and he taught him many interesting things and things that Peter just never knew from his old Jewish religion. For example, I think long before he probably ever said anything to Nicodemus, Jesus said to Peter, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be known through him. Now here's a man listening to Jesus this time, brought to Jesus by his brother Andrew, and Jesus is saying there is a life after death, Peter. But you have to be born again. There is only one way of salvation, and that is by grace through faith in me. In other words, he's very specific, and John picked it up and wrote in his gospel, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one cometh to the Father but by me. That's pretty special information, inspired by the Holy Spirit and spoken by John to Peter. And then Peter brought it to Andrew. And so the gospel was carried on. Peter was also a person with a strong ego. And I'm sure that he sometimes had to be taken down a notch or two. So one day when he was appearing to be just a little bit boastful, and he was Peter and he was running the show, it was that Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are the branches, Peter. He who abides in me, and I in him, he it is who bears much fruit. And then how do you think Peter took this one? Apart from me, you can do nothing. Was he changing the man? Were these great truths that Peter had never heard before? Maybe his father was one of those fellows down by the fishing dock who said, Peter, there's nothing in this world that you can't do if you put your mind to it. But Jesus went right along and said, oh no, Peter, apart from me, you can do nothing. He was helping Peter get his life in shape, that by the grace of God he could do some tremendous things, which he did. But without the Holy Spirit, he could do nothing. And then back again to this great deal of the eternal life. You see, in those days, I'm sure that those people felt that the day was going to come when their kind of a Messiah would take care of all of these people who were not Jewish people, and they would set up there in Israel a real place for them. But Jesus went on to tell him, Peter, that is not necessarily what Jesus was saying. He is saying that when we have breathed our last, then we can enter the kingdom to meet him face to face, to sit and talk with him. That was the kingdom that Jesus had brought to them. Now that's the text, but I'd like to try to apply it today and to make it just a little bit more personal for you and for me. What person or who invited you to claim Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? We know that person or people who was doing that in your case were only the instruments of the Holy Spirit. And their extending the invitation and you accepting it was a work of God, the Holy Spirit. But usually the Holy Spirit takes a person or a group of people and says to them, surround him or surround her with this great gospel message of Christ. Can you stop and think who invited you? It could be one person. It could have been a group of people. For example, here's a person who is in a group and takes a good interest in you and invites you to church with him or her on a particular Sunday. And there you had a pastor who was preaching the gospel and saying this salvation can be yours if you but receive Jesus Christ, and you became a new Christian. Well, we could ask who was the person who helped you grow in your faith so that it was not just an emotional experience but something that really led you all the way to learn what Jesus wanted you to do with your life. Maybe it was a parent or two parents who believed more than anything else that what they wanted was to have their son or daughter in the kingdom with you. I recall one day of an elderly lady, who came to her son, and she said to him, "John, there's one thing that I really want more than anything else. I want to take you along to heaven, but you have to receive Jesus Christ." Whether that John ever did or not, I don't know. I left that area and came to the Midwest. But I've often thought that it was that mother's prayer, where she was introducing her son, just like Peter was being introduced to Christ through his brother Andrew. Did that ever happen? Could be a brother or a sister. Someone who said, "I'm really, really concerned about you. I want you, too, to come along to heaven, to be one of God's children while you are here." Maybe it was a friend that you never thought of. You were not particularly close, but one day he just began to talk to you about where you would spend eternity. And that set you thinking. The question is, I think it's worthwhile identifying who brought you to Christ. Could be your pastor. Either as he was preaching from the pulpit that there is salvation only in Christ Jesus our Lord, but that he had suffered and died and paid the price for our sins and had been raised again and had ascended into heaven and was coming back. But he wants you right now. He not only wants you to be with him in heaven, he wants you to be with him right here on this earth. And he will sustain and comfort and strengthen you. Who was it? Well, you go on and analyze that, will you? If you're a young person or an older person, who was it who really brought me to Christ? I could identify with you. I think it was my father and mother first, and then faithful pastors standing in that pulpit Sunday after Sunday telling us about Jesus, and that strengthened my faith. And then it cleared it completely as far as salvation by grace through faith and not by works, when a president of a seminary stood and said, "Gentlemen, tell your people that Christ has done it all." Those were some precious times. Now I'd like to ask you, who have you told about Jesus Christ? Who did you come to like Andrew came to Peter? If you're a committed Christian person, you certainly have had to talk to your spouse if he or she is not a Christian. I have seen that happen many times, both when the husband won the wife and the wife won the husband. It was not just continually being after them, but saying to them, "Here is what I have in my life. I wish you had it too." I have again and again seen children, and now they may be kids who are in high school or in college, Where we live, I sense a large number of kids who are together, and their one thing that they have in common is Christ. I have a granddaughter who could tell you all kinds of stories about what she has learned from Christ. I know she learned it first from her father and mother, but then she got into that group at the university. And here were people who really had the same experience, probably, that she wanted to have in a more personal way. And she grew and grew, and she's still growing. And life and the world is entirely different for her than if she had never met these people. Now, what we're finding is that these young people who have come to know Christ in a very personal way are beginning, in some cases, to wonder what their relationship is. We know that dad and mom are Christians in the traditional sense of the word. They perhaps even joined a Sunday school class and taught it, and were very anxious for us to be around good folks. In our particular case, the youth group in the church. But does father and mother really know Christ? There are things in their life that don't seem to change. And if they did know Christ, wouldn't there at least be an attempt, not that they're ever going to be perfect, and not that they aren't the best parents in the world as far as I'm concerned in all the things, but wouldn't they be a little bit more at peace? Wouldn't life be more of a part for them where they could really rejoice and be happy and look into the future with great expectation? I'm sure there are times that my children could have come home, they didn't, they were so kind, and said, Dad, why don't you show in your life what you have preached? They never did, but I've often wondered why they didn't, because there was plenty of chance. These children are very important. I have grown a long ways just listening and observing my children and their spouses. Yes, that's the other question. The first one was, who told you? And the second one was, who was the Andrew in your case? That one particular person who seemed to put it all together for you. God is speaking to you and to me. I am at this time an instrument of the Holy Spirit, inviting you to receive Jesus Christ in. And if he's already in there, I am urging you to find some of these people who have an immature faith and lead them into maturity. That's an exciting challenge that was given to us via the example of Andrew, who brought his brother to Jesus. Amen.
Yeah.
Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you for this glorious example of Andrew, just bringing his brother to Christ. God, we pray that those of us who are in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit may be anxious to play the role of an Andrew, where we can reach out to somebody and say, I've got something in my life. I really want to share it with you. For therein we know that the church will grow, that body of believers in Christ. Therein we know that all is well with our soul's salvation. And so today, O God, as we continue in the beginning of a new year, may we know the challenges that are ours. What a rich year this can really be as we commit it all into your care and your keeping. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's sermon will provide inspiration and joy as you face the week ahead. A memorial gift is a meaningful way to remember a loved one. These gifts can be given in any amount to commemorate the life of someone special while furthering the mission of Christian Crusaders to proclaim the gospel. And your gifts not only remember someone who has passed away, honorarium gifts are also a thoughtful way to celebrate someone still in your life. Please send your memorial and honorarium gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. We invite you to tell a friend, relative, or neighbor about Christian Crusaders. Those who travel outside of our broadcast areas can listen anytime on christiancrusaders.org. You can also call our office to request that sermon copies be sent to a particular individual. By reaching out to others with the Word, we help share the light of the Lord with those who walk in darkness. If you'd like a CD or printed copy of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders is now in its 76th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.